Welcome to Houseplant Homebody. I'm your host, Holly, and I'm here to tell you all about my favorite things, plants. Are you ready? Welcome to episode 89 of Houseplant Homebody. This episode is in honor of my birthday, since I turned 30 years old on March 4th. Just technically, most of you are going to hear this at least on Tuesday, so yesterday or day before. But if you didn't know, I have a twin sister, so the two of us celebrated this weekend, and then our friends got together. And then Peter and I spent the day together on Monday. We both had Monday off to hang out. So I want to dedicate this episode to just talking to you about kind of my experience over the last couple years, and to talk about my houseplants, how it's been going, what I've changed, what I've hated, what I've stuck with, all of that good information. Just because I feel like I go about talking about these individual episodes, sometimes I don't have experience with them, sometimes I do, and we kind of go into the details of each plant, but I haven't really given you a ton of updates personally on plants. As you know, a lot has been going on, personal life, wedding, and then backed with buying a house, and then my sister had her third baby. Lots of complications, so a little bit stressful. And then I've just been soaking up as much time as I possibly can with friends and family in these last few years. So I haven't been sharing my plant collection and what has been going on as much. So I thought this would be the perfect episode to talk about it with you guys. So I kind of broke this episode into multiple different parts. So we're just going to keep going through different points. The other comment I wanted to say is, since it is my birthday, I do this every year, but I did a giveaway. I just announced it today on Instagram and Facebook. You can go on to @houseplanthomebody LLC and you will see the giveaway information. Along with the giveaway, the product that is going to be given away, or the options you have to be given away, are also going to be options for a merch launch. So the merch launch will be starting on Friday, March 8th. I will have both the designs that you'll see in the giveaway information, but I also have some logo stuff, and I also have an updated Monstera t-shirt. I still have a couple things remaining from the first launch as well that are on the website, but just want to let you know that is coming. If you don't win it, you have the chance to still buy it later on. Okay, let's dive into some stuff that's been going on with plants. Let's get into it. Okay, so I was reflecting on what I should go into, and the one thing I should probably just start with is how it's going with the plants in general. Because of where my life has been the last couple of years, focused personally on my husband, my family, that kind of thing, my friends, it's been survival of the fittest in my houseplant world. I have a couple things to help some of the more difficult plants. Like, I have a ton of grow lights in the main part of my house, and I do have a couple of good windows that I could put some plants in, and I do have one humidifier. But beyond that, it is a survival of the fittest. So I've lost a lot of plants because of it over the last few years. I've actually sold some plants just to like dwindle down the collection, knowing that I was also going to be moving into this lovely house eventually. So it's kind of gotten down to the core plants, or the plants once in a while I'm still testing, but mostly the core plants that I actually love is kind of what I have left over and what will survive for the most part and what I can give it. So that leads me to kind of one other thing I was thinking is like, what kind of plants have been established is my favorite and why? So I find Monstera, Hoya, and Philodendron usually, some of the easiest houseplants to take care of. Not only are they fairly simple, there are a ton of different varieties, So if I want to collect Philodendron, I can collect hundreds of Philodendron, hundreds of Hoya, lots of different Monsteras because there's so many different ones, and the care isn't always completely different. So if I wanted to go from one Calathea to the next, for example, the care could be pretty different. One could be way more complicated than the other. I know that they're complicated in general, but something like that. So, or if I wanted to go to Bird of Paradise, which is super simple, to like, I don't know, what I'm thinking of, an orchid. Very different. So I know going to my Philodendrons, my Monsteras, and my Hoyas are usually a go-to win for me most of the time. Obviously, there's some that disappoint me, but most of them turned out pretty well for myself. The other one I'm kind of loving that I haven't really done a ton of research for, but I do actually love, is Rifidisphora. That's an episode I should do soon too. I've had a Tetrasperma before, but I have a Discurva now that's actually going very well, and I actually really like it. So Rifidisphora is also probably one of those. It's kind of in the same vein as a Monstera. Obviously, Rifidisphora Tetrasperma is called a mini Monstera, even though it's not a Monstera. So it's in the same vein as Monstera and Philodendron in my mind. So those have kind of been my established favorite plants. So of those, my favorite ones I have currently, I have, honestly, Classic Crimson Princess, I think. I always get the Crimson Queen and the Crimson Princess and the Crimson. What does that look like? Oops. Okay, it's Crimson Queen Hoya that I have that is just growing phenomenally for me, and it just keeps growing. But I think my absolute favorite is my Hoya obovata. It's just been impressing me like no other, and it's been super, super simple. I remember I got it from someone, I think off Etsy, and it was one leaf cutting that was rooted. And now the leaves are huge, like maybe 3 inches wide. It's insane. So those are probably my favorite from Hoyas. My Monsteras, I have a giant Monstera Deliciosa. That is definitely my favorite one. I think the Monstera Dubia surprised me. That's been a really nice one to see grow up. I have a wood plank it's growing on. That was surprising. I really, really like that one too. For my Philodendron, I bought a Tortum, I think, early last year. It's doing okay, but obviously survival of the fittest. It's probably not as healthy as it could be, but I still love it. It's doing good, still producing new leaves. And honestly, my Pink Princess is actually doing very, very well. A friend had given it to me maybe about a year ago or more, maybe at this point. Nope, it was probably about 2 years ago now. That one's actually doing very well. It was kind of slow to get going at first, but it's been producing new leaves with lots of irrigation every time. My Ring of Fire is doing well. I got that last summer. And then my White Knight that my mom had given me, I think for my last birthday, is doing well too. So those are my fun philodendrons that I have. I have more philodendrons probably than any other type of plant in my house, but those are probably my favorites right now. Okay, and if I'm going to talk about plants that I like, I got to talk about plants that I dislike. And the list isn't very long, to be quite honest. There's really only one plant that I dislike, and that is, and it's not even a dislike, it's just like I have no intention of really trying this plant again, unless it's like in an outdoor planter during the summer. I think maybe I'll try to get a couple of them for that or something. But alocasia or elephant ear, I just, indoors, no. Unless I am dedicating my life to them and giving them the most perfect environment, I just don't want them looking crappy constantly or having like one solid leaf left or being on the verge of life and death. So those are ones that I think they're beautiful. If I could keep them alive, I would. I just struggle with those. And I've never alluded to the fact that I haven't liked, or I have liked these. I know in the episode I said I did not like them. I do know they're beautiful. There's some varieties that are gorgeous. Even the classic ones like the Freidich are just like cool looking too. I had a zebra one, and then it just went down to no leaves, and then I tried to hold on to the bulb, and then nothing came out of it for like 6 months, so I was like, okay, we're done, officially done. Clathia is one of those things that I kept trying because I thought they were really pretty, and I think, honestly, for me, Clathia are a little bit easier than elephant ear, but they both have the same complications for me where they need lots of humidity and a little bit higher moisture, and like most of them need a decent amount of light, but spider mites are my biggest problem with both of them. I think I like Clathia better than elephant ear, but and I just can't do either of them. And I think like that might be my only plant I really don't like. I think succulents, I'm kind of over it. Like your common, like succulent class type succulents. To me, it's kind of a, I don't know, it's a hit or miss trend for me. And I think I'm kind of over it. I know there's a lot of cool varieties out there. It's just not something I don't like collecting as much. Cacti too. Cacti are fun. I like them better. I still have a ton of cacti. But they're just not something I like to look at every single day, if that makes sense. So that's my hot take for the day of my dislikes. Okay. I'm going to start going into kind of the successes I've found over the last couple years and the absolute fails I've had. And then I kind of want to talk about my wish list and what's going on there. I also want to remind you that once I post this and once I put a post about this, I want to hear about the plants that you like and dislike and the success if you had or even the fails you've had or anything like that. I also want to hear from you. So make sure you're commenting on the posts when they come up about this episode. Okay, so some of the successes I've had, I actually have had a decent amount. And I'm trying to be positive here because there's probably more fails than there are successes, to be quite honest. But as I mentioned earlier, the Monstera Dubia was a big surprise. So my friend Sierra, who you know, bought me a Dubia Monstera for, I think, we were out shopping in Chicago in like October or November or something. And then I said, ooh, I wanted that, but I didn't want to buy it. She's like, okay, I'll buy it for you for Christmas. She says, I know what you want. I'm like, okay. Cool. So she bought it for me. So it only had like maybe 5 or 6 leaves. I think we got it from, I forgot what it was called. Fleur. I think it's just Fleur. F-L-E-U-R. I think it's a flower shop in Chicago. We got it there. So not a big houseplant place, but they had like one of them available. And they only had five or six leaves on it. It had its own tiny little wood plank. Then I brought it home and it didn't really grow much, but probably 6 months later, like end of summer, like beginning of summer, I guess, end of summer, the following summer, it just shot up. And so I bought like from a craft store, one of those just wood planks that I think it was 3 feet long or something like that. And it's almost to the top of it now. And it just keeps growing and you could see the roots are attached to it everywhere. And then it started. For a while there, when I was searching for houses with my husband before we bought the house, I just kind of let it go and I didn't pay attention for a while, and then started spiraling up the wood pole that I decided to attach it to. So it's loving life. That was a big surprise. The other big surprise for me was my burrow's tail succulent, which, you know, I don't love succulents, and I had very little faith in this, but I had leaves from, or like, I guess they're leaves from a burrow's tail that I was giving someone else for something I bought as a present or whatever. And I saved probably 5 or 6 of them and I just put them in soil to see how they'd do. And obviously 2 of them died off, didn't do anything. But I probably had like 3 or 4 of them still alive. And I produced a freaking burrow's tail plant out of it. And some of the stems are probably like maybe 6 to 8 inches long now. All I did was consistently water it and it worked. That was the most shocking thing. That's probably been about 2 years now. But I was utterly surprised that I was able to do that. And it has new stems shooting up the middle. I mean, I was shocked at how easy that was. As long as I kept it watered, that's all it needed. Another big success for me lately is a goldfish plant. So I did the goldfish plant episode, I don't know, a while ago. Not that long ago. It was this past year, 2023, I did the goldfish episode. And I had a goldfish at one point. I didn't put much effort into it. And I think it either died or I got rid of it. Well, recently I had bought a new one probably, I'm trying to think how long ago I bought it. Maybe about 3 or 4 months ago I bought it. Maybe a little bit more, maybe 6 months ago. Right now I have it sitting really close to my humidifier and it is hanging off of my plant shelves that have all the panel grow lights. So it's getting a lot of humidity. It's getting a decent amount of moisture. I'm trying to keep it a little bit higher moisture because I know they like that. And then it's getting good light and it is fully producing flowers again. For a while there, obviously it dropped off, but it is producing flowers again. And I am very proud of myself because I didn't think I was capable of that. So Even though I say anyone's capable of it if you put the effort into it, I was very skeptical about that one because, in my opinion, like, flowers on houseplants is very rare depending on what it is. Like Hoya, sometimes it's hit or miss. Sometimes you have to wait a few years depending on the age of the plant. Orchids, it's another one that I have not been able to get mine to bloom quite yet, hoping this year maybe it will shoot up a stem. I was shocked that that one worked out, but that was another great surprise for me. The other one was the Hoya Sunrise cuttings. I think I mentioned these cuttings in the propagation episode I did last time, but I had a follower and a friend send me some of her Hoya Sunrise stems. So I did the layering on the soil type of propagation. So that way the roots of multiple sections could just grip onto the soil. And I put them in moss too. And there's like a whole bunch of leaves coming off the side of a couple of the stems just ready to keep growing. That was surprising. Since the Hoya Sunrise, she had it in full sun to begin with, the plant was red, but the new leaves are coming out green, which is, you know, no surprise at all. So it looks kind of funny, but they look great and the leaves are huge. So that's really positive. What else? I'm trying to think of a few other ones. Pink Princess, I think I just mentioned, is actually doing surprisingly really well. And then my Rivetosphora discurva, also doing really well. I'm getting the fenestrations back on the leaves and they're getting like bigger and bigger as they go. The Hoya obovata is amazing. And then my orchids, even though I have not gotten them to bloom, I have been consistently watering them. They have been producing new leaves on it. The roots look really, really healthy. They look really good. So I'm very hopeful that I'll finally get flowers again. So we'll see. It's been a few years of me not giving them enough moisture, humidity, or anything. They're currently in a south window. It does get blocked by another building for a decent amount of time, but they're in a south window and they're next to my kitchen sink. So they get a little bit more humidity and they get a little bit more light. And since they're next to the sink, they get consistently watered, which was, I think, the big problem for me. Another one that I always do really well with is avocado. So I like to grow avocado pits and I think I found a system that works really well. I wrap them in paper towel for several weeks, honestly, and I wait for roots and a stem to start growing out of it, and then I place it at the top of a little vessel where the roots and kind of the bottom of the plant are touching water. A stem obviously isn't, and then just keeps growing. And I've had one for, I don't know, several months, maybe even a year. The roots are huge inside of the vessel, so maybe eventually I'll be moving this to soil soon. But the last time I did that didn't work out quite that well. And I think it was just because I underwatered it because it was used to the water and I didn't even process that enough. So it's doing well in the water. So I'm going to keep it there for a little bit longer. But those have been my successes. It's a lot, honestly. Those are my biggest ones. I've had plants still growing really, really well that I've had forever. Like my giant Monstera deliciosa is just killing it. I have a silver sword philodendron that's just like growing insanely well. I have a bird of paradise that keeps producing new leaves, and it's probably, I think I got it maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and it's at least doubled in size. With the limited light and humidity I was giving it, now it's in a west window near another grow light, so it's doing pretty good. So I have like notable plants like that too that are doing solid. I have my variegated string of pearls is really healthy. My normal string of pearls is actually very healthy. So hanging on to a couple really good ones, and I'm enjoying experimenting with those guys. So those are my successes, but my fails, I'll keep it to some of my worst. So my most recent terrible fail is I bought a snow bush. I don't know if you've ever seen these. It's very cute. I've wanted one for a long time, and I was like, I don't want to put the effort into having to learn it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just try it. It was only, I think, $4 or $6 at Water Farms in Nina. I got it, brought it home. Within a week, I fried it. I forgot to water it. Like, completely fried it within about 5 or 6 days. So killed that one almost instantly. That is normally what kills a lot of those higher moisture plants for me that I bring home that need a lot of moisture. So I've killed a lot like that. I don't even want to get into how many. It's been a lot. It's a lot of waste of money there. My Monstera Adansonii wide form, oh my gosh. I look at this thing every day. So I wanted to repot my Monstera Adansonii. It was doing well. And so I wanted to put it on a moss pole. So I did. And it was doing good. And it was rooting and everything. And then all of a sudden, one by one, all of the leaves dropped off. Now, granted, there's only three or four of them, but they were big leaves. And I was so proud of myself for getting it that far. And then they just all dropped off. The stem is still healthy. It is still rooting, but there are no leaves on it. So I have that, I don't know what it's called. It's a type of paste. Is it crazy calicky paste? Kaiki? Cloning paste? Kaiki? I don't know how to pronounce it. So I have something similar to that that I'm going to try on the leaf node areas and see if that works. And I do know, I have seen people be very successful with it. So I think I'm going to try that. My regular Monstera Adansonii has the exact same problem where I was trying to put them on a moss pole. And then I thought I gave it enough moisture. I definitely did. Maybe I gave them too much moisture. I kind of doubt it though, because that's not usually my MO. But that has been my saddest thing that I still make myself look at every day based on where it sits in my office. So that's been the biggest disappointment. I have killed a snake plant in the last couple years. Currently, the most recent one was at my desk at work. And I don't know if it was lack of water or too much water or I like flooded it or something. But it was starting to rot from the bottom, which usually is higher moisture. So killed a snake plant. My Peperomia Hope, that was very disappointing. I recently killed that by underwatering it and then just started dropping leaves and then the stem was bare. So I cut the stem and then I repotted it, but then somehow it got ripped out of the pot and I was just like, okay, I need to just replace you. So that was a very sad one because it took a long time for me to get the stem really long and then it was finally getting really long and then, you know, whatever. This isn't necessarily a fail, but it was definitely something that was stupid. I put a regular ZZ on the ground near my Monstera deliciosa, the giant one, but kind of in a darker corner. And there is a grow light above the Monstera deliciosa, but because it's so big, anything below it is never going to get the light it needs. So my ZZ plant's bottom leaves dropped off. And it kind of got leggy. So my ZZ plant does not look good. On a more positive note, my Raven ZZ looks totally fine. So that's good. But my normal ZZ looks rough. So I put it back into my office near my grow lights. So there's that. What else? One other fail? I guess it's not really a fail. It's still kicking. I have a really big Syngonium I got from a small plant shop. And they were on sale because they were going out of business. But it was huge. The stems were like 3-4 feet long. I don't know if I didn't keep the water up or if I didn't give it enough moisture or humidity or light or whatever. But all the stems I had to cut back because they got really leggy. So it's just basically the base of the plant or the like original roots area of the plant is what is left over. But that was not good. But those are kind of the biggest fails I had over the last couple years. Obviously, I've gone through a couple sensitive plants. I've gone through a couple maidenhair ferns before. Regular ferns, done that. I've killed just any number of plants you can imagine, but those are probably the worst. So I've kind of kept my collection down a decent amount just to minimize it and kind of stick with what I like, know, and really want to put effort into these days. Okay. So let's move on to some of the fun wish list ones that I'm kind of thinking of, products I've stuck with, and Instagram Q&A stuff. Okay, so my wish list, it's always endless, but I have always had some of these solid ones at the top. So there's a Monstera Esqueleto That one is very similar to the Adansonii wide form, except that it's just so much bigger and the holes are bigger, the fenestrations are bigger on that Monstera. There was one at Bayside Garden Center, because Peter and I went there for my birthday. That was gorgeous, and it was huge, and it was on sale for $115, and it was not a bad size whatsoever. Maybe it was $170. I was thinking of another one. I think it was $170. Anyway, really actually reasonable for how big the plant was. That's one of those the big ones that's on my list. But what I've learned over the years is I can't get a brand new plant that's too small, because my problem is I underwater it. So I have to get them a little bit more established, or it's just not worth it and I don't really want to risk it that much for myself. So I got to get it a little bit bigger and be able to pay the price for it. So when I'm ready for it, I will make the time and the money for it. The next couple, Monstera Aura and Monstera Thai Constellation, have been on my list from like day one. Aura is one of those Monsteras that I've only recently been introduced to, probably in the last few years. Thai Constellation obviously has always been there. But just the variegated Monstera in general is always on my list. I figured eventually they may go down in price, who knows, but right now, I'm not willing to pay $100 for a 4-inch plant, so I don't see myself getting that type of plant for a very long time, and you know what, I'm okay with that. That's why it's on a wish list. It's a someday. That Philodendron Tortum was on my list for however many years, and I got it for $70, which is expensive, but sometimes I'm willing to do that, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I kind of want like a little bit of fenestration when I get it, so I don't know if I'll be able to do that. We'll put it that way. Some of the Hoyas, the Calystophylla, I think it was called, and the Rotundiflora, those two have been on my list for a very long time. Those are, I don't think they're very uncommon. They just haven't been in my world. I think I saw the Rotundiflora once at Water Farms in Neenah, Wisconsin. But it was, I thought, too small for the price, so I didn't do it. And then the Calystophylla, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but that sounds right. I actually just saw that today, or yesterday, I guess, at Bayside Garden Center. I just didn't go for it because it was a little expensive for what I was willing to pay today specifically. So those are a couple I still have my eye out for. There's also a big giant type of Hoya, and I can't remember the name of it. I don't know if it's like, it's going to bother me what the name is. I don't know if it's just called giant. I think it's the Hoya latifolia is what it is called. But I thought there was a common name that I'm missing. Maybe it is just called big leaf Hoya latifolia. Yeah, that's another one that's probably on my list. That one, I know there's a group of people that sell these. I think they're called We Are Plant Lovers. I think the name is what their company is. And they sell a ton of different Hoya varieties and then some good Hoya Monstera philodendron varieties too. But that's probably where I would order it from. They're always really reliable usually. But those are the Hoyas I'm interested in. I still don't have a Gloriosum philodendron. Always interested in that. Philodendron melanochrysum, I think is what it's called. That is another one that I am always interested in too. Probably won't get my hands on for a very long time if I do. Same with strawberry shake philodendron or a variegated strawberry shake. Just one of those things I probably won't be getting unless I find it for a good deal. Florida Beauty, I know the prices have been going down on those for a while, and I'd probably be willing to get a slightly smaller one of those if I had to. But the Gloriosum and probably the strawberry shake, I'd like to get a bigger variety if I do end up with them. And by bigger, I mean like by like 6 inches, not larger than that. So that's kind of my wish list. Mostly all Philodendron Monstera and Hoya for the most part. I really love all the variegated varieties of Pothos too. Like, I think it's Global Green. That's a really fun one that I actually haven't gotten either. But most of the other varieties of Pothos I have gotten. Philodendron, like I've gotten Silver Stripe. Where's Silver Stripe? Yeah, Silver Stripe. Ring of Fire, White Knight, Pink Princess, those kinds of things. So I'm in a good spot with some of those. I've held on to them pretty well. The one thing that I kind of screwed up was my Marble Queen Pothos, and I'd like to get that replaced and try to put it on a moss pole and see how that goes. So yeah, that's my wish list and that's how it's going. So for some of the products that I've stuck with, I always keep it fairly simple. I don't try to overcomplicate it myself. If I can't take care of my plants, I'm not about to, you know, mix like 10 ingredients for my soil or like use 10 different fertilizers. So I still use the Fox Farm potting mix. Most of the time I'm using the Happy Frog, but if I can't find that, I'll end up using the Ocean Forest too. And then I'm mixing extra perlite. I don't really have a specific brand that I stick with typically. My go-to is Espoma if it's available, just because I was used to that from my garden center days, but I honestly don't care. So perlite is wherever I could find it for the most part. And then sphagnum peat moss I had been using inside of my moss poles, but that was pretty much the only location that it's been. It was at the top of some of my plants for a while when I was prepping them for our wedding. So some of them still have some remaining moss in them, but I'm not using this sphagnum peat moss very often. Bark, I do also use those in the moss poles, and then I use that in my orchids, and then beyond that, I don't really use it very often. Compact shears, the DRAM compact shears are the only ones that I currently have for my houseplants, and I love it. I probably want to replace them. They're still really sharp. I just need to clean them really good. So for me, I'm like, I could replace them too. And then my one humidifier that I have, I believe it's Honeywell. That works very well for me. If I put it on a like low mode, it usually lasts all day, probably close to 12 to 14 hours it lasts. So really like that humidifier. And then my panel grow lights I couldn't live without. Since I have just plant shelves, the panel grow lights are the perfect thing to put on the bottom of the shelf and allow for a ton of plants to be placed wherever. And then because of how the panel grow lights are and the new kind of like way they're doing them, you can split up the panels. Before you couldn't do that. So it's really, really nice to not have to do the two panels together every time. You can split them up a little bit individually. I'll have the links on the blog post so you can kind of see what I'm talking about too. I'm sure you've seen them in my stories and in my posts as well. But the panel grow lights I love. Mini mason jars are also what I love and are my go-to for propagation. In the past though, which is not going to be linked, but TJ Maxx, Marshall's, Home Goods, I have found some vases with gold tops, and that is what I've been using for a lot of my propagation. So I've been using those more than anything, and I'm currently using them as like decor. I have some pothos cuttings in a couple of them, and I love those. But the mason jars are usually my go-to for small cuttings. So I have a bunch of mini mason jars attached too. So that's kind of what I've got on my wish list and the products I've really stuck with. Beyond those, the fertilizer. Okay, a couple more things I did not think about until just a second. The fertilizer I use is Fox Farm. It's called Fox Farm Grow Big. That's for really any houseplant that is not going to bloom. Otherwise, there is a bloom booster fertilizer that Fox Farm has that I use. It's a concentrate that I just mix while I'm watering all the plants. And then something I do use pretty consistently is the Bonide Systemic Insecticide. And then I do use neem oil, and I mix neem oil with dish soap and alcohol too with water. So I do have some of those that I mix together to help with pest issues. So neem oil, the Systemic is all Bonide brand. In the last episode, I talked about they have a rooting powder also that Bonide carries that I don't use, but that's also a great one for propagation. So Bonide is a trusted brand for me, and Fox Farm is a trusted brand for me. That's usually where I stick to for my stuff, for my houseplants. So let's just get into the Instagram Q&A quick, and then, yeah, we'll go from there. Okay, so I was asked what my first houseplant ever was, and I actually believe it was a mixture of things. I think it was cacti and succulents, and I honestly can't tell you what came first. Of my houseplants, though, I know I have some cacti that I've had from day one. I don't think I have any of the succulents I've had from day one. I have a pothos that I've had from day one. Still kicking. It's in my living room on a makeshift moss pole currently. It's not in the like greatest, healthiest, best condition, but it's still kicking. And then I have one agave that was my original plant that I had as well. It is also not doing as well as it could be. It really needs to get repotted badly. I'll probably do that this summer. Some of the bottom leaves are dropping, which they should, but the top leaves aren't producing as fast as they should. So those were my original plants. I still have the agave and the pothos and some of the cacti that I originally had. I also had a ponytail palm and a dracaena way back when. Both of them had issues. Dracaena, sometimes I have issues with dracaena that I overwater, but barely, and then it kills the whole plant. I've done that a couple times with those for some reason. And then the ponytail palm got mealybugs, and it was too late by the time I saw it, so it was kind of infested, and it's really hard to get out of the little nooks and crannies of the ponytail palm. So those were my original houseplants that I had, and some that hadn't survived and some that did. My other question is, how many do you have? What's your limit? And how many is too many to care for, in your opinion? So I'm going to literally pause this and go count, but I could tell you I reached my limit a while ago, and then I've kind of backed off, and I've just learned to enjoy the houseplants I have. If it's a houseplant I really love, I will find room for it. And if you see pictures of my office, it looks like I might not have room, but let me tell you, I could probably clear enough to clear a whole shelf in that office if I really wanted to make room for more. And I have other spots in the house I'm not really utilizing, so I could use those differently. I just don't think it's realistic for myself anymore to be caring for 250 houseplants. At my most, I think I was just past 250 houseplants. And as fun as that was, it was just really unnecessary. Most of those, the main reason was because it was a lot of the wedding houseplants that I had wanted and used, I was going to use at our house too. But it was just a matter of space. So I got rid of a lot of them and I sold some of them. Most of my friends took them for the most part, or a couple followers did too. So I didn't, you know, threw them out. I gave them to good homes, people that wanted them more than I did. And if I had the room to keep all of them, I probably would have, but I just didn't have the room and it just really wasn't necessary. So I think it's personal preference, but I kind of had a wave of like getting every single kind of plant. Oh, that plant's only $5. Well, of course I'll get it. To now I'm like, okay, well, that plant's $5, but I could put that $5 to a plant that's $55 instead and get more of what I exactly the variety I want or what I like. So just what I've wanted over the years has changed because I've had everything at one point. It didn't make me any more happy. I loved it. I loved that I had so many plants, but I had a chance to own a ton of houseplants, and I just learned that it's just not necessary to have that many to keep your collection looking good and growing. Having just even like a handful of really nice houseplants that you love to pay attention to consistently, I think is way more important. Obviously, if I have room, I'm going to get something, but it's going to be something that I've really wanted now. So let me go count my houseplants. I'll be right back. Okay, so doing a quick count, I have 151. This includes all of the plants that are in the basement currently that are going to be my outdoor plants. So my big canna lilies still have some leaves popping up. My oxalis is down there with no leaves, but I count it because it comes back every year. I have some asparagus ferns down there. Oh, I'm out of breath from going up and down the stairs. And then I have a few philodendron, another big monstera upstairs. And then I also counted the three houseplants at my desk at work. I have two philodendron and one ZZ plant at work. So 151, not bad. I also got rid of a couple in my mind that were kind of on their way out. So technically, if you added those in, I probably really had 153, 154, but 151 is the actual number of houseplants that I have. So I think that for me is a good limit. The ones in the basement, I barely water very often. I think the asparagus ferns are the ones that I probably water the most, but they're so low maintenance down there. They're all getting a decent amount of light because I have a really nice grow light down there for them that's on a timer. So 151, not bad. Obviously, some are struggling. Some are most are thriving pretty well, but I would probably say that's really where my limit is the 150 range, maybe 160 range. Usually I can water my houseplants in about an hour for that, maybe hour and a half. you're looking at probably two and a half hours if I'm really cleaning them, maintaining them, checking in the soil, that kind of thing. I've been bottom watering some of them because the soil has gotten compacted on some of the plants because, as you know, I'm the chronic underwaterer, so the soil compacts pretty well for me. So I had been bottom watering some of them recently. So yeah, that's probably my limit. And 151 is how many I have now. And that's probably pretty close to what my max limit is. I could probably go up a little bit. The 151 also includes the three houseplants I bought just the other day at Bayside Garden Center. I bought a new string of turtles because I originally killed mine by replanting it, and then I think I messed with the actual plant too much, and then I couldn't keep the stems alive. So I bought a new string of turtles. I'm going to keep it in its current pot and then just put it in the cash pot for now. I bought a new philodendron narrow because I had one and then I left it outside and I let it tip over and just stay tipped over, and then the plant just didn't like it, obviously. So it was my own fault. Bought a new one to replace it. And then I bought a new one, a new syngonium. I'll have to post the exact variety on my story. I hadn't ever heard of it before. It was a more rare variety, I think, but more of a circular leaf, which is a little bit different for syngoniums that I'm used to. And it's almost like a frosty kind of like the Florida, I think it's like the Florida Beauty or the Florida philodendron looked like. Kind of, it looks like it has a spider mite issue, but that's like how it's supposed to look almost. So I bought that too. So that was a type of syngonium. So that is the Instagram Q&A. Thank you for the birthday wishes for those that wish me a happy birthday. I very much appreciate it. And I hope you enjoy the birthday giveaway. I really hope you enjoyed this podcast, getting a quick update of where my houseplants are, what I've learned, what I like, what I don't like, what I've stuck with, what I haven't, that kind of thing. And I hope you enjoy the next podcast episodes that come out in the future. And I appreciate all the love from you over the last few years, sticking around and sharing the podcast episodes. So enjoy the giveaway. Go share it with your friends. And we'll talk to you in the next episode. Hello, hello, me again, of course. So I wanted to give you giveaway details. If you're listening to this on the 5th, 6th, or 7th, you still have the chance. So it is a giveaway of a crew neck sweatshirt or a t-shirt. And there are two different designs. There is In My Plant and Coffee Era logo. Not logo. In My Plant and Coffee Era design that has a little coffee implant in the bottom corner. And then the actual wording at the top. And it has a Houseplant Homebody at LLC social media on the sleeve of the crew neck and then the backhand side of the t-shirt. Or there's the In My Plants Coffee and Books Era crew neck or t-shirt option. And then all the little symbol in the bottom corner is coffee, a book, and a plant. Also with the Houseplant Homebody social media on the sleeve or on the back of the t-shirt. So they are super fun. There's something I want to do. I was only going to drop the plant and coffee one, but then I realized, like, just because I haven't gotten back into reading like I really, really want to, as much as other people have. A lot of my friends are big books people now, so I figured that would be the more popular one. So I actually got a higher quantity of those. So the giveaway is, obviously you need to follow me, Instagram or Facebook, and then you need to like the post, duh, and then you need to tag your friends. So you could tag as many people as you want. However many people you tag is the amount of entries that you're in for. And then for 5 more bonus entries, you got to share Houseplant Homebody or the post or anything about the giveaway to your stories. But just know, if you're a private account, I won't be able to see it. So you got to screenshot it and send it to me. So that is the giveaway. Also, if you hear the thunder in the background, very sorry. All of a sudden, a storm just came rolling in. So that is the giveaway. If you miss out on the merch, it is for sale on Friday, March 8th. So I will probably launch that in the morning, probably late morning. So just as a heads up, it is still coming to you. So if you don't get your chance to win it, you'll get your chance to buy it. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode too. It was really fun to kind of recap what's going on and kind of look at my plans and go, okay, what do I like? What is happening here? So I really enjoyed that. The next episode we're going to be doing is spring blooming bulb plants. So this is going to be more of an outdoor plant, a landscape plant one. Obviously, this is not going to really help you that much right now in spring, because you're going to want to plant these in summer usually. But I wanted you to be able to recognize and identify some of these spring bulbs right away when you're looking around the landscape, because we moved into a new house. We moved in September, bought it in August. So the stuff that's coming up now, I didn't know existed. So there's some bulbs that are coming up that look amazing. I believe there's some iris coming up. So anyways, spring blooming bulb plants is coming up on the next episode. So make sure you get your questions in, your hot takes or your opinions about those. The next episode beyond that is going to be Calancho, which is more of a kind of a spring related plant. It's not really a commonly kept house plant. It's more of a gifting flower for the most part that people like to give people. So I wanted to go into the details of, like, can you keep this as a house plant? What you should be doing, get into those really nitty gritties of it. And then we're going to go from there. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Remember to follow at Houseplant Homebody LLC on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, you should. It is quarterly. You can go right to the website, do that. And the next one is coming out in May. And then if you didn't know, the podcast has been released again bi-weekly. I had stopped there for a while, but we're back at it. Trying to get into more topical episodes, kind of like today's, and more landscape episodes like in 2 weeks. So I hope you enjoy this, and I will talk to you guys later. Have a wonderful week, and thank you for the birthday wishes. Have a wonderful day. Bye.